I grew up on the far south coast in the Brogo Valley, about 20 k's north of Bega. I remember the first time that our family went down to that other state, the state of Victoria. I mean, even though we lived relatively close, I guess when I was growing up, it would have been less than a two-hour drive. The roads are a bit better now, so you can probably do it in an hour and a half. But I don't remember ever going down that way, because there's not much down that way. It's just into the Victorian wilderness. But my uncle was living in Albury, and so I remember we went across to visit him and went down across the Murray River. And as a kid, it was this kind of dramatic moment, crossing the river, crossing into another state, another territory, another area. And of course, the land didn't seem to look all that different on one side of the border to the other. And as I've traveled around, you go through border crossings pretty regularly. And that's the thing, there doesn't seem to be anything much different between this side and that side. And yet we love drawing those lines on the maps. We love making those demarcations and those differences. Now, of course, for most of our lives, state borders meant almost nothing. It was just, a place on the map, and you'd see a sign and we're now in a different state. Until 2 years ago, when we had our first lockdowns, and suddenly state borders suddenly became very significant for us. And then it was only a year ago that, here in Campbelltown, people weren't allowed to go outside, not just the state, but the local government area. We were confined into this space and into these territories. And suddenly you had to realize where the boundaries, not just of states and countries, but even of our LGAs, as we got to know. So boundaries do matter at times. Boundaries are significant. But our first reading from Kings and then our gospel today are wanting to remind us that borders are always things that we describe, that we put that line on the map, that we think it's more significant than it perhaps can be. I mean, of course, borders do have their relevance. And during that period of lockdown last year, I was grateful that at least I was in New South Wales, which was a little bit lighter in its approach than some of the other states and all of that. And of course, as we continue to see the horrible events unfolding in the Ukraine and the claims of borders being pushed to the west from the Russian territory and all of that, I think I'd much rather be in an area controlled by Ukraine than by the Russians, from all of the atrocities that continue to unfold there. So borders do matter, and borders do have significance. But our readings also point the fact that Jesus doesn't seem that bothered by these borders. We've seen that his disciples have reacted very strongly against these Samaritans. Samaritans were almost Jewish, people that were originally Jewish, but during the period when the northern 10 tribes were essentially lost to history, when the Assyrians attacked and destroyed so much of that northern kingdom of Samaria, and took them into captivity, and then they sent other peoples, other nations, to settle into the land that once was occupied. And so Samaria became this place that was interbred between Jewish people and lots of others. And so it became this place of very synchronistic, very mixed communities, races, religious practices. And so that was a lot of the problems that the Jews had, that they were almost Jewish, almost like us, but not like us. And we love making those distinctions. But again, Jesus doesn't seem that fussed and that bothered by those distinctions. We see it also in our first reading today, where Elisha is quite happy to provide this healing, this curing of this foreigner, Naaman, even though he comes from another despised nation, even though he comes from a people that has oppressed the Jewish people and attacked them and caused great, great suffering among the people. And yet Elisha is quite happy to allow the Lord to do this cleansing. Not directly. He doesn't even go out to meet him. He doesn't do these mighty deeds. He just provides that direction. Go into the waters of the Jordan and wash yourself 7 times and you will be cleansed. Now, one of the sad realities is that Most likely, there was actually no leprosy in the Holy Land during this period. Archaeologists have said we found no evidence whatsoever of in skeletal remains of any form of leprosy or anything like Hansen's disease until perhaps the late first century. That was when it was first imported from Asia. But at this point, it's a disease that seems to have had, you know, obviously some impact, and people realize that there's something that is very contagious about this disease. And so the only thing that they know to do is to separate and keep these people isolated away from the community. And there's whole sections in the book of Leviticus that provide very detailed instructions about where the people that have any kind of disease like this should be kept. Again, not leprosy, but something like this. And so what we experience, again, is that sense of separation and division. You know, we know how horrible it was when we were isolated in our own homes, when we couldn't go out to meet in the church and meet with one another, when we were so separated and isolated. It gives us at least a little hint at what it must be like for people in a community like this to have this profound sense of being so separated, so isolated from the community. And perhaps that's why the nine who are cleansed and are cured just simply want to go and be with family again. Once they've gone to see the priest, again, which the book of Leviticus prescribes, once the priest has said, yes, you are now clean and you can come and be part of the community again. I mean, imagine the delight that they had to be able to go and to be with their family once again, to be in community once again. Who knows how long it's been since they were able to hug their siblings, to be in the very presence of the people that they love. So you can give, you know, some sense of why the nine just immediately went to go and to be with their family and friends. And yet this Samaritan, he sees something different. He sees this possibility. The first thing that he wants to do is not to go and to be with his community, but to go back. To go back to the person of Jesus, and he throws himself down on his face there in front of Jesus because he's so overwhelmed, so caught up in this wonder that he's so just this gratitude that is bubbling within him. He has to express it. He has to show just the depths of the change that he's now experienced, because now he knows that he will be free. Now he knows that he doesn't have to hang around with these Jews anymore, that he can go back to his own people. He can be among the people that he loves and longs to be. But first, he needs to complete this work. And first, he has to go and to offer his thanks back to Jesus. The Samaritan provides a wonderful example of that difference that happens when we're not just cured, but we're fully healed. The difference in the Samaritan's life is that he is the one who has this integrity of heart and life. It's not just a physical thing that has happened, but he's been utterly transformed, utterly changed from head to toe. This depth of the change that happens when we bring that gratitude, when we bring that thankfulness into our lives and into our experiences. Every one of us can have this opportunity to express our gratitude at all the wonders that God continues to do among us. Every single one of us is impacted and changed by other people. Perhaps it's by our parents or our teachers or other people that we can express our gratitude and thanks to. The mentors in our lives, the people that have inspired us, the people that have nurtured us, the people that continue to show the way to God. Let's maybe take the opportunity to think of somebody in our life that has been the great model of God, that has been able to point the way to God within our life, and take the chance to give them a call. Take the chance to send them a message. Take the chance at least to say a prayer for that person, to express our gratitude, to express our thanks for the wonders that we have experienced, that we have discovered because that other person has been placed in our lives. The change, the transformation happens is extraordinary and beautiful. If only we can also cultivate that attitude of gratitude within our hearts. If only we can experience the depth of what it is to give praise and thanks to God. Our lives are changed. Our lives are transformed because of what God has done. And we can continue to share that with those around us and to invite others into that same experience of encountering the living God, by offering our thanks and our gratitude to those around us today.